Welcome back, Nomads.
Hey, Nomads.
We are glad you came back for a second episode. In this episode, we are going to share a little bit about our stories. In our first episode, we talked a lot about why we're interested in looking at the TCK demographic and a growing community and why it might be important, but we realized that we didn't really tell anything about ourselves.
So. You guys don't really know anything about us.
Yeah, so we've come together just for this week to record, and we're hoping that this next episode you guys can hear a little bit about us, and we try to do it in the most like organic, loose way.
Kind of lighthearted, a lot of funny stories.
Yeah, we hope you guys can try to understand a little bit about who we are through some commonalities in our story. We talked about Chinese school, our shared experience growing up in China, attending Chinese school, and then I think we shifted into
homeschool experience as well as international school, and then also what our experience was like moving back to the United States for university. Kind of that coming back to our passport culture. So yeah, we hope you guys really like it. Here it is.
Wait.
You're speaking in Chinese. I doubt many of our listeners are going to understand that.
I don't think we have any listeners.
That could be true, but we're going to record this no matter what. So are you ready to get going?
Yeah, let's do it. Am I walking like this? Or like...
Oh my goodness. That's a funny story.
Let's start our podcast.
Maybe
off.
Someday you'll tell that story on the pod.
Let's start our podcast with some of this. I feel like anytime I hear this, I just think Chinese school.
Oh yeah. 起来，不愿做奴隶的人们。 This song, man.
Man.
No, that's... Wow. That takes you back, for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it wasn't every morning, though, was it?
Singing the anthem?
No.
It was at least every Monday morning, because also on, also on Monday mornings, at least for us, I don't know if this was like it, if it was like this for you guys in Chinese school, but we would have to stand on the tall tong, the like grass field or whatever, fake grass field.
Yeah.
It was all that like rubber stuff. But for like at least an hour and a half to 2 hours, listening to the principal give a outrageously long speech.
Yeah. And it's just like the ultimate mansplaining.
Yeah.
Because like, listen to me talk for an hour.
It was so, like, I dreaded Monday mornings because of that. And I remember the Robinsons, they would go to Chinese school in the afternoons, not in the mornings. And I was so jealous of them because they could miss all of that cao tong stuff. Do you remember the exercises?
Yeah.
Like the yambao jian tao, the I one, but also the guanbo ti tao.
Yeah.
Kaishi. And you have to do these like yoga, like payo exercises like on the field. Yeah.
400 other kids doing exercises.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Crazy. Crazy that experience of going to Chinese school. Just like, really, really interesting. That's something I said way too much in the last podcast.
We realized after listening to the last time we recorded this, one, it was super dull.
Yeah, super dull. And like, I was like...
We were just tired. Yeah, I don't know. We were just like...
There's no energy.
Energy was super low. So right now, we've got our coffee. We're ready to go. But the other thing we realized...
I was trying to sound like David Blaine. If you go on the Joe Rogan show and listen to David Blaine talk, I feel like I was trying to be like zen, mystic, like...
Just like, yeah, that's super interesting.
Super interesting. Like, look at this demographic shift. It was so not us. Am I walking like this? Oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness. I can't have a heater on. Yeah. It's so hot right now.
It's getting really hot.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. So we're going to talk
No, I was going to say, the other thing we realized while listening to that episode was you say, that's interesting. Or, interesting point. The word interesting, so much. So I feel like we need to have some sort of like penal. Like if you say the word interesting, I don't know.
If I say interesting, I have to play like 5 seconds of the Chinese national.
You have to sing... Five seconds.
At least a line,
Okay. You have to sing, that's
no, because the best part about it was I would say it in just the most uninterested, you'd say something, because I was looking at a script, and you'd say something, and then I would be like, you know, that's really interesting, and it was just not, what you were saying wasn't like interesting.
The one line, I'll never forget this, was, my furlough experience. My furlough experience was really interesting because I didn't have any friends.
I guess it was interesting not to have any friends.
I don't know why. That's sad.
I don't know. It was a horrible time of my life. Oh, I had no friends. I learned how to drive. That was the takeaway.
That's what we talked about. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, Jonathan, you've been up here in Portland now for a couple days. The first couple episodes of our podcast.
Re-recording, trying to edit.
Honestly, it's been a lot of fun just reminiscing. Because I haven't seen you since...
Your wedding.
Yeah, my 3.5 years ago, my wedding in Chehalis, Washington, of all places.
You know, the whole time I thought your wedding was in Oregon. Even while you were there? Yeah, even when I was there, I did not know I was in Washington. I swear, I really didn't. My family did the family vacation in Portland right after. All I remember about that family vacation was a lot of stuff, but just like, nothing horrible, actually, nothing bad. I don't know why I said that.
I remember about my family vacation was, I mean, a lot of stuff.
No. So we wrap up your wedding. We go, me and my family were at Holiday Inn Express. And for some reason, I have this distinct memory of leaving the Holiday Inn and
driving north?
No. We must have driven somewhere. I don't know. But
well, you would have driven south to get back into Portland.
I don't remember anything except for we were at some hotel and then we got on a train thing that took us into
the TriMet, yeah, or the Max.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. But that's all I remember. I just remember your wedding and then getting on that train and going into the city. So I thought we were in Oregon.
The whole time. Yeah, no, that makes sense. It's so random that we got married there, though. We don't have any connection to that town other than it's a perfect midway point between my extended family up in Seattle and Corey's extended family in Corvallis area.
Yeah.
Which is just south of Portland. So
I'd never really been to either state.
The Pacific Northwest. Yeah. Well, welcome back. Yeah, I was going to say, it's been fun just reminiscing about China and old times. We processed just a lot of crazy stuff about our childhood and stuff. And we realized we have quite a few things that are... like overlap with our stories. One of them was Chinese school, right?
Chinese school,
homeschool versus you went to transfer to CDIS halfway through. And then,
CDIS was the other one? The international school.
Yeah, CDIS, the international school in Chengdu. Transitioning back to our passport culture, back to the States for university.
Like America for university.
I feel like there was one.
I mean, we're both figuring out life after.
Yeah, figuring out life after that.
Graduating college and
how being a TCK impacts that and everything, all that jazz.
Yeah, I just wish we could go back and I could look at myself in China, standing there on that field every morning.
Yeah,
singing this. I would sing it from the top of my lungs.
Like make our flesh and blood into the new Great Wall.
Yeah, my school was smaller.
But yeah, you had a smaller school. Ours was 1,000 students in our elementary school. So picture an elementary school with 1,000 students.
Because yesterday you said you had Yinian Yiban, which is grade one, class one.
Yeah, grade one, class two. And we had all the way, grade one, all the way up to class, either four or five, I can't remember. And in each class, there were 60 people.
Kids. Yeah, I was in grade one, class three. But then...
Did you just have fewer kids in each class?
Yeah, we had fewer kids. I think I went to a nicer school than you did.
A bougie elementary school?
The elementary school is just... I think it was newer. They had just built it because we were on that west side, the Jingsha Chojan area, that bus station. Yeah.
I haven't heard that in so long. Jingsha Chojan. Yeah, that's how I used to tell taxi drivers how to get back to my apartment. When I was super young, 13-year-old riding in a taxi from my friend's house back home. I'd tell them, Jingsha Chojan, 然后到左边, right? Turn left after Jingsha bus station.
What's funny is I never knew, your complex was called, but I didn't know Caleb's. Caleb's, our one friend lived in this really random area. Because you say,
near Dufus.
Dufus Hotel. The Fujin.
Yeah, Dufus Hotel, the Fujin.
It'd be take me close to this park, and then...
Yeah, in Portland, take me close to the Pearl District, and then I'll tell you where to go from there.
But yeah, no, Caleb Robinson's complex is super hard to find.
No one knew the name.
Yeah.
But we'd always say, Dufu Tatan the Fujin. And then direct the taxi. Because that was also before, any of these, Google Maps even, and GPS location. You didn't just give the taxi driver an address and they plug it into their phone. All the taxi drivers knew the city, the back of their hand. I was always amazed. I was like, man, I could never do this. Because I could do it maybe if I was a taxi driver just in the west side or maybe just the south side. And I could recognize the different neighborhoods and different street names and stuff like that. But if someone told me like some random neighborhood in the Northeast, like Taujahar or something like that,
yeah,
I wouldn't know how to get there.
That, yeah.
I will say though, it,
it's so interesting.
It made so much sense how the city was sing the song. You just said interesting.
We
have to sing it.
I can't sing.
You did earlier. There you go. Yeah, here it is.
I will take my blood and muscle and create the new Great Wall.
Yeah. It's a lot of really cool imagery.
Well, it's very like post post-cultural revolution. Like, unite.
Yeah, anyway. Unite the
states. Yeah, we both went to Chinese school growing up. We had different experiences. Mine, I loved it. I think.
Yeah.
I think you didn't.
It was bittersweet for me. There was a little bit of like, you know, the Chinese kids making fun of us for being foreigners, like blah, 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 like, you know, being kids. And like when me and my sister Katrina, she's only 16 months older than me, so we were like pretty close in the same school for like a really long time. But they would always like make fun of us and stuff. So there was like that little bit that I didn't enjoy. But looking back at it now, I'm so glad my parents, quote unquote, made me go to Chinese school because it immersed me in the culture. It allowed me to make a ton of Chinese friends.
I mean, you learned the language too, just from a young age.
I don't ever remember not knowing the language. Like, obviously I remember learning more vocabulary, but just like a kid here in the States learns English in kindergarten and learns how to speak and read and write and stuff. That's how I learned Chinese, was just, and also growing up, my dad, when I was between the ages of zero, like when I was born till I was 2 years old, my dad only spoke Chinese to me.
That's interesting.
He didn't speak any English. Like maybe once or twice when he was speaking to a group or whatever, I would hear him speak English, but he would only speak Chinese to me just because he wanted me to have a lot of
just totally practice with it.
And be immersed in it, because the advantages of being bilingual in today's day and age, like there's so much globalization, right? I mean, Chinese is spoken everywhere.
Yeah. It is. Yeah.
Yeah, with Chinese school, it was bittersweet. But I really did enjoy it because I made a lot of Chinese friends, played a ton of like sports and game, ping pong, basketball, soccer.
Yeah.
Remember all those little like recess trends, like yo-yos, a little chippy, like Pokemon chippies, Pokemon cards.
There was always like a new, it's like every 6 months was like a new, every 6 months trend. Was a new game. And if you did not have the game or the toy.
You were a loser.
Or the, what was that? There was a comic book. There was this like really, there's this comic book that was like, it was Spy vs. Spy. These little comic books, and then every kid would make their own. You know, you get paper and you kind of like draw out like six really ugly squares and you like draw your own comic. But then there was this one kid that we found, like he was making these really funny comics.
Yeah.
And then we found out and he was like, these are OG, you know, these are original. And then we, like somebody went to the store and found it.
Oh my goodness. He was just copying.
He was just copying it. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
It'd be like, these States, trends. Like copying Captain Underpants and saying like, I came up with this content, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
As a kid, you're like, oh my gosh, he's like,
he's so funny.
He's, you know.
But these trends were like, if you didn't have whatever the in thing was, the trend, you were like a loser. No one wanted to hang out with you. So,
well, just you didn't, or you were like super studious, and those kids,
right,
like never, you know, at recess they were doing their homework or they were like talking to the teacher or.
Yeah, I remember.
But in Chinese school, there's such a hierarchy of, remember, you have your banzhang, which is like the class president. Like they are the.
And it's they're like the symbolized one. By that like white square thing that they pin onto their uniform. And if they have three red bars, that means they're like highest in command. Then there's a two red bar and a one red bar.
Yeah. So it's like
all this.
Kind of like class president, vice president, like class spokesman. There was like a role or something like. Yeah. I never.
Even in first grade, had all this stuff. So like at such a young age, they're teaching like hierarchy of like status and. Being in a position of power and stuff like that.
Which I think, honestly, I don't know, probably pros and cons there, but...
Right. I mean, the pros and cons. The world is gray. Pros and cons with everything.
No,
right?
of course.
But, yeah, I remember my favorite trend was those little Pokemon chippies. That's what we called them. These little chips, like metal chips, where on one side was a Pokemon character, and on the other side was the Pokemon ball, right? And you lay them out, and if you can... Hold the chip in your hand, you rock, paper, scissors to go for it. Scissors, char, right? And it, like if someone like cheated the rock, paper, scissors, you're like, you played it last, you cheated me.
Like, yeah, no. Sorry, so I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're fine. Remember, it's, and there was like, chard, they did chard, they did chard.
Chard, they did. No, so what you do is you'd line up with the other person and you'd go s, which means like, s, char.
Rock, paper, scissors, yeah. Shoot. Like that whole thing.
It's like, yeah, exactly. So
pretty much.
S, yeah. Char. So then on char, you're like throwing out your, you know. But either you'd rock, like, paper, you'd like do scissors. It like, as a kid, you do like a big wind up. You'd be like,
yeah,
throwing
big
your
wind,
face.
Like, yeah.
S, char. And then if we char. Do it at the same time, and I felt like I don't know what you call it in America. I don't know, rock, paper, scissors, but like you just call out like, oh, you were delayed.
Like you did it after me. Like I threw like out scissors hesitate. And you yeah. threw out rock, but it was after me. So you cheated.
Yeah. It's like you cheated because you saw my hand swinging down. With the
yeah. And you'd say, ho,
ture.
Like,
ho means like behind. Or,
yeah.
Like, behind.
Like you back. Threw it out after me. You yeah, threw it out yeah. after me.
So there'd be like epic fights at school. Yeah. Just like.
But so the way this trend or this game worked was if you won rock, paper, scissors, you got to go first, which. Yeah. The actual game was trying to flip over the other person's chip with your chip.
And you could
and
keep
if
it.
You flipped it over, yeah, you got to keep it. It was yeah. yours. So these like little third, fourth, fifth graders are like betting all these chips that they spent money on. And remember, there were the big size and the
they're
little
the
size.
Huge ones. Yeah. There's yeah. like a chip the size of like a coffee mug, you know, like a
yeah.
like the top of a coffee
those ones
mug.
Were worth like, what, like 5 kwai, which
like dollar,
is like
yeah.
70 cents, 75 yeah. cents.
75 cents.
But yeah, so the little ones were like 5 mao, which is, I don't know, like 3 cents.
I don't four. No. I don't know how to do that mental math, but yeah. a little bit more than that, like a dime.
Yeah, maybe a dime. Either way, it was cheap.
Yeah, no.
Cheap
those,
fun.
But
that was a fun
trend. The best part about it was you could bet more than one. So it was like yeah. going all in. So I'd bet my like whole collection.
My whole box, like, which is like
and it was,
60
it was
chips.
A pride thing at yeah. that point. It wasn't
oh, yeah.
about the chip. It was about like, am I better than you? Can I like...
Am I better?
You? So you'd be like, I bet you 25. And they could be like, no, you know, like 10. You
no,
know?
I'm out. I don't want to do that.
I don't
want
to bet anything.
And really, it's all based on luck of who wins
red,
the rock, paper,
scissors.
Scissors.
Because if you were a decent player, if you ever won rock, paper, scissors and didn't win the chips, what were
shame.
You doing?
Shame
like,
on you.
It was not hard to flip it over.
Yeah, it wasn't hard. Yeah, I just remember things like that, that again, just kind of going back to host culture stuff, like it just really immersed us in the culture and allowed
yeah.
us to make really good friends and really good memories. And I mean, even to this day, just that's such a fond memory of doing
like
that
yeah.
with Chinese friends.
Okay, we need to get back on track. We have talked about Chinese school growing up. We have talked about...
I mean, that's pretty much it.
That's pretty much it. We have not gotten through.
That's okay.
It's okay. So the next thing we should probably talk about is after Chinese school, what did you end up doing?
Well, I wasn't going to Chinese school full time. I would go part time in the morning. So like mm-hmm. for 4 hours in the morning. And then at lunchtime when all the Chinese kids would get their like cafeteria lunch, which did you ever eat that? The
yeah.
cafeteria lunch?
I thought it was good.
I ate it a couple times, but it was always, they would just like roll these super big metal carts just full of these giant tubs of like pre-made Chinese food into the classroom. I always remember such a distinct smell. It was like a good smell, but it was like...
It was just like any cafeteria, just like so limited yeah. in your options. Like every like Wednesday.
Everything's
the
in like these warming pans. Yeah. So it gets all like stale and soggy and stuff. But yeah, I went to Chinese school part-time.
sorry, I'm laughing.
And then I was homeschooled in the afternoon yeah. For all my like English, American studies, things like, you know, science, literature,
yeah.
math, you know, to actually get a grade and an education.
Yeah.
And I liked being homeschooled. It wasn't the typical, you know, like the stereotypical isolated childhood of like no friends. And so I think a big part of that was because you guys were there. You were also homeschooled. We had
yeah.
a bunch of other friends who were there. We actually had a Chengdu homeschool group.
Well, at that point, you'd call it like a co-op.
Yeah, it was like a co-op. Like,
because
yeah, it was
we'd
a,
have...
quote, CHG, Chengdu homeschool group. And there were like 20 families.
Yeah, because I would take... I took a science class with Caleb. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, we did co-op classes and...
I need to stop saying like. It's horrible. Sorry.
Maybe that's going to be another interesting thing. Like if either of us say the word like... I literally just said, like, if either of us say the
I know,
word
it's
like.
Horrible. We'll probably end up cutting this part
yeah,
out.
Probably.
Maybe.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember random days.
Oh, my gosh. You know what I'm thinking about, right?
The monkey video?
Yeah, the monkey video.
Oh, my goodness. Joe Rogan, man. I remember... back on track. Come on. I remember
yeah.
random days. We would, like... Oh, my goodness. We would meet either you guys or the Robinsons in like a park somewhere
yeah.
and do homeschool in a park and then get our homework done like in a couple hours and then just play. at the, the local like Chinese park
but
or whatever.
Before I switched to the international school, when I don't know what your experience was, but when I got older in my homeschooling, when I was like in seventh grade or eighth grade, I remember it. I did a lot of online stuff at that point. Like I did like an AP human geography. That maybe that was like ninth grade or eighth grade or something.
Yeah, we had online like classes online, as well.
An online class.
Yeah, it was like an online curriculum where there were like real live teachers in the States online, and then you could log into the classroom. And it wasn't like a recording or anything. It was actually taught live with a bunch of
were
other...
Were your teachers in the U.S.? Because my teacher...
Yeah, most of them were.
My teacher was in Russia.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah, that's interesting. It was Mrs. Fredrickson. Did you ever have her as a teacher?
Oh, Mrs. Frederick? Yeah, for
she
English?
Lived in Russia.
Really?
Yeah,
I
she
never
lived
knew
in
that.
St. Petersburg.
Oh, I never knew
so
that.
So the class time was a little bit weird because Russia was
I
like
do remember
six
that
hours
class was
behind. It's a weird time. The time zones were always interesting.
Yeah. But I remember, just to your point of when you got a little bit older and you're doing a lot more online stuff, I remember my like host culture experience, it's almost this like opposite graph where the older I got, the more... I don't want to say like in a bubble I got with my passport culture, but I was way less immersed in Chinese culture, way less like immersed in locals, just because I didn't have any Chinese friends anymore at that point.
Well, how much do you attribute that to Chinese students starting in middle school and high school begin essentially preparing for the Chinese Gaokao, the Chinese
like the SAT or whatever?
Yeah,
because a
day they spend, they go after, you know, Chinese high school goes from like 7 in the morning.
Six or seven, sometimes six o'clock.
And then Wenzixi, which is like kind of like study evening study hall, is like 2 hours. And it goes until...
like 8 p.m.
8 p.m.
Yeah.
Like 7 or 8, and then you're free.
Yeah, and the...
There's a break in the afternoon, of course. I think there's like a, you know, Shoshi Shijian, like rest time from maybe, say like... after lunch for like an hour and a half, like a nap time.
Yeah, but a lot of
like
them,
rest time.
A lot of them use that just to study more.
Yeah.
But no, I definitely attribute that whole like opposing graph chart or whatever I was talking about with the Gaokao and how
you had
just
to
how stringent their
friends.
Study schedule was, because I remember this. I have this one super vivid memory of running into my second grade classmate that I hadn't seen in like, I don't know, probably 8 years.
Yeah.
And it was solely because I asked him like, what have you been up to? What have you been doing? He's like, just school.
Yeah. Like, oh just busy studying.
Like,
and that's, you know, it's interesting. Oh my gosh. I can't believe I said that. No, but what's
great. We'll leave out the national anthem song.
What,
for this
what's
song.
Crazy is the link between that and what we talked about in our first episode of the one child policy impacting China, that there's so much pressure.
Yeah.
If you only have one kid, how much pressure, how much do you chalk that up to the pressure of being a only child, say you're an only child, and you're expected to financially support your parents later in life once they retire, and the way to do that in society, you see, is getting a good job, which means take a step back, get into a good college, which means scoring good on that test, which means cutting off friends in order to prioritize, because there's that much pressure.
Yeah, and that's a big difference just in the culture, Western culture versus Eastern culture, is the collective family unit is like the most important thing. So if it's on you, if it's your responsibility to support your family later, you better be doing everything you can to make sure that that's going to happen.
And it could be a difference in, you know, your Gaokao score of, you know, 2 or 3 points could get you into
a better university.
I mean, it's just like, it's similar to here in the States in terms of like law school, you know, there's like the top 10 law schools, like Harvard Law, you know, these prestigious schools, and your LSAT score can 1 or 2 point difference can make
you can make
or
break.
Did you get into, you know, Ivy League, whatever?
Yeah, the I think it's called the T14, like the top 14 law schools or something in the United States.
That's interesting that you kind of pivot. Well, just a lot of factors, but then you ended up starting to hang out with more like other expats.
Yeah, all that to say, just that trajectory of when I was younger and in Chinese school with a lot more Chinese friends, I was more I was more immersed in the culture, but then as I got older, because those Chinese friends kind of dropped off, I didn't keep in touch with them because it was so much harder. Just spending a lot more time with really the homeschool group, with the expat families, with, it's actually in that homeschool group is where I met who's now my wife, Corey, started dating in high school and everything. So just became a lot more involved
in
with the
group.
Expat community.
Yeah.
But no, I really enjoyed, especially as I got older, how social and how involved we were with that. Because we'd go on, you know, like monthly outings and stuff together. We went on a bunch of campouts with the expat community as well. I have a ton of great memories from that. And then also, remember every Wednesday we would meet at that sporting complex. I think it was called Decathlon. Yeah, we'd play soccer and stuff. Yeah. It's just like an intramural type vibe of hanging out, playing soccer.
Basketball.
Yeah. We would like count it as our PE credit for homeschooling.
That's funny. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. That's where when I got older, I switched to the international school. And I think a big part of that was just wanting to play more sports and just kind of having a more normal high school experience with study halls and sports mm-hmm. trips and lunch and recess and things like that.
Yeah, like being with your friends in a more social environment.
Yeah, and having like a locker. I don't know why. In Chinese school,
I've never had a locker before.
You just have these heavy backpacks.
Yeah.
And so heavy. All your books.
Carry like 13 books around in one backpack.
It's crazy. And then at my high school, we had like lockers, which was mm-hmm. cool. It just kind of felt like what I'd seen in TV shows of America growing up. You know, Disney Channel or Nickelodeon, you know, kids at the locker. And that was kind of like, I don't know, something that I experienced going to international school where it felt more like an American high school. But at the same time, my international school was super diverse in terms of the nationalities that made up the classes.
All the different countries that were represented. And so,
yeah. So
yeah. How big was your high school?
My high school had probably 125 students. Uh-huh. K-12 was like 300 kids.
Right.
So you kind of knew everybody in the school. And my class had 20 kids, and I think there were made up like about 10 different nationalities of those 20 students.
That's crazy.
Which is
a lot of countries
and all over
one
we
class.
Had, you know, from New Zealand to Singapore to Hong Kong to Canada, Brazil, America.
Yeah.
Just all
which,
over.
Which, it's interesting because that international school experience then was more like, quote unquote, your passport culture experience of having lockers and having like a cafeteria and playing sports and going on trips and stuff with like your sports teams.
Yeah. It felt like a normal high school.
Yeah. But also it was very different because there were so many different cultures represented.
And all of us kind of making this new culture of there wasn't one dominant culture.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
There wasn't like an overarching, like there's more Americans in the school there were a lot of Korean students, but we had this blurred somewhere between, you know, a Chinese culture and so it's just kind of I hate to say like melting pot because that's so cliche, but really that many country, you know, when we, one example of this, which is interesting is when we would go to lunch, you know, you could be sitting at a table of like six, there was mm-hmm. kind of groups that ate lunch together. And if you look around, I wish I could go back and take a picture. You might have like six different cuisines.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like my one friend has brought sushi. My one friend has brought, you know, whatever. You know, just like so many different types of food there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's, it's just crazy how many different countries and stuff were represented in that. And talking about that different culture that you all created, that, I mean, that's what the third culture and third culture kid is. And we talked about this in our previous episode too, was just like, the third culture isn't a combination of your passport and your host culture, because then every TCK's third culture would be different, right? People from Korea, people from Europe, like that third, quote unquote, third culture would be different than my third culture. But that's not the case, because that third culture is actually just the shared experience, shared behavior of what it's like to grow up outside of your passport country.
And that clicks.
And that's the culture that you guys created together.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's just a really key point in the whole TCK, like defining the TCK conversation and stuff.
Yeah. I think the next thing we want to pivot into is college.
Yeah, like the...
I'm still laughing at the, just the monkey, the Joe Rogan.
What was that video?
So there's this great podcast, clip from the Joe Rogan show. If he has Elon Musk, and Elon Musk is really like... really in-depth talking about consciousness, and he's like, you know, and hydrogen became this element, and he's talking about that view of his personal view of the creation of the universe or how things came into being.
Just and really like heady,
really heady. And just like, where do you draw the line of consciousness? And it's Elon just kind of talking because Joe Rogan's not cutting him off or, you know, interrupting or anything. And he's just kind of going, he's like, yeah, well, I don't know consciousness. And he's kind of throwing out some terms and like, well, however you define that. And then it just switches over to Joe. He's like, that's really interesting. And then he's like, there's this video of a monkey on the back of a motorcycle and it jumps off and tries to steal a baby.
Just and so
Elon Musk is just sitting there like, yeah, I guess. Like,
like how does that relate at all?
It just sounded like he was not listening to, he had no clue of what Elon Musk was talking about. Just and just was like, yeah, there's this baby.
But yeah, oh my gosh, back on track. What are we talking about?
College experience.
Yeah, like transitioning back into college. What was that like for you, like coming back into your passport culture? Well, first, when did you graduate?
I graduated in 2015.
Okay.
That was year 16 of living in China.
Okay.
So just crossed that, like, had just crossed that mark of, you know, 16 years in the country.
Right, right. That's a long time.
And
it's a significant portion of your life.
And I moved to Colorado for the summer with some friends that I had from a long time ago in China.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent that summer together. We just had like a summer job. And then we working at this camp. And then we all three went to different colleges. But it was a good, it was a pretty good transition of that summer. I wasn't sitting around sad that all my high school friends were gone. I was kind of getting used to living in the States, living in a college town in Fort Collins, Colorado, with some friends, working together, hanging out, hiking and stuff. So that was a really good, like,
it's a nice first, like, transition period, kind of.
Yeah,
like
it was a really good summer before college. Right. But then also, you know, I drove to Michigan from Nebraska, where I was just with my mom because my dad had already gone back to China, which was a bummer because only one parent got to, you know, put me in school or all those classic, you know, every movie, the parents are dropping off the kid at college,
driving,
but it was just,
it was just one
of my parents and my aunt and uncle, came with and just, it was weird just driving to Michigan. Had never been to Michigan before, except for like the Detroit airport just passing through. Had never been to Michigan. Never been to Grand Rapids, never been to Calvin. I had done like a virtual tour, you know, one of those like websites.
Yeah, like the 360.
It
kind
of takes you through, and just showed up. I knew two other people that were going there from China. From like, one was a friend who went to a different high school in a different city. So knew some people, like two people, but nobody else.
Yeah, my experience was a little bit different because, so Corey and I started dating my sophomore year in high school, and she's a year older than me. So she actually graduated high school and came back to the States 1 year before I did. And because both of our families are from the Pacific Northwest, we decided to go to the same university, which was...
That makes a world of difference.
Yeah, it made a huge difference because she, and I mean, props to her, she like kind of broke the ice and braved the waters of transitioning back before I did. And made a bunch of friends and stuff, and kind of, so when I came back, I pretty much already had this established community for me. It was like,
you had a pre, I mean,
yeah, they knew who I was because, you know, Corey and I were dating, we were doing long distance while she was in school for that first year.
You ever meet them through FaceTime and stuff like that?
Yeah. So I met him through FaceTime when I came. It was, I mean, not to say that my transition experience was all like kicks and giggles, like just super rose colored and fun, because there was a lot of hard stuff with it too, but I think that just made it a lot easier to tackle those harder things because I had a welcoming, solid friend group and community, and the excitement of seeing my girlfriend again after however long it was kind of overshadowed the sadness of leaving my home. And of course, that was still super sad. I was going to actually ask you what your goodbye experience for Chengdu was like. Like, obviously, you said goodbye to a lot of different things, your friends, the city. I mean, the idea of like that being home.
Yeah.
What was that goodbye like for you?
Oh, man. Definitely saying goodbye to Chengdu in China was the hardest goodbye I've ever said because just, you know, living there for 16 years. And then it was kind of an abrupt way of leaving because I think I had my graduation on like a Saturday and I left on Tuesday.
So wow, that's really soon
I left
after.
Really soon. I even left after my parents.
That's quick.
My parents, I think, went to my graduation and then 2 days later left. They left before I did. So I had to do all these things like close up the apartment and turn off the lights and all those kind of little things when you leave, because my parents were leaving for the summer. They were going to go back. And I joked with my friend Michael, one of my better friends in high school, Michael, because we joked that we were going to walk off the stage at graduation and immediately get on a flight. Because that's what it felt like. Because he also, I think he left a day or two after I did. But yeah, I flew from Chengdu to San Francisco. There's a direct flight on United, and then San Francisco to Colorado. But it was just this crazy transition of, I wish I had. I wish I had that. It's horrible. I wish I had that summer to stay in Chengdu and hang out with friends.
I totally get that.
Because there's that whole, do you want to be the first to leave or the last to leave? Because if you're the last, your friends have slowly left, and I feel like it'd be really sad to be the last one kind of left.
That would be hard.
But also being the first one, because you're leaving and you look back and all your friends are still hanging out. So that was hard. And
right.
Some of my friends who are going to university in New Zealand, and specifically New Zealand and that area, Australia and stuff, their school semester system is, you know, different with the different seasons, winter, summer seasons. So in that hemisphere, so my friends from New Zealand weren't starting college for another like 8 months.
Oh, until like that next January or February.
So the next, like, yeah, the next calendar year.
Yeah, that's
so interesting. Some of my friends from high school stayed in Chengdu and kind of had like a post-high school life of being adults, like not having to go to school anymore.
Yeah.
But not yet starting university. So they kind of had this like gap year or gap 8 months.
Yeah, gap semester.
Of freedom living in Chengdu. So that's something I was really jealous of when I left. But at the same time, you know, leaving at the start was sad, but I was glad that it was kind of like a band-aid, ripped it off fast,
right?
And moved away from Chengdu. I knew that I was coming back at Christmas, the first Christmas coming back to visit my family, because they were still living in China. So I knew that it would be, I kind of had the mentality of, I'm leaving China for the last time. It'll never be the same. High school's over.
Right.
But I am coming back in 6 months.
Yeah. And that is one of the hard things about leaving your host culture and going back into your passport culture, is even though you're going to go back someday, it's never going to be the same. I mean, for a lot of different reasons. One, just whatever city you're in is going to continue to grow and develop, and new construction, all that kind of stuff. Like going back to Chengdu now, it's quite different.
Yeah. Restaurants will be different.
Yeah.
You know, that's same anywhere, you know,
but also your community, your close friends that were from all over the world that you developed in that country, in that host culture, like the chances of all of them coming back to that same place at the same time,
next to zero.
I mean, maybe it could happen. That would be awesome if it could happen. But so you're not just saying goodbye to a place, you're also saying goodbye to like a way of life.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And that was a really hard, that was a really hard goodbye for me as well. Again, I mentioned it, I had something to look forward to, you know, that community that was going to welcome me as soon as I got to America.
Your girlfriend.
My girlfriend was in the States and stuff. She actually flew back to China for the last part of that spring semester. So she was actually there with me, and we kind of said goodbye to the city together, which was,
yeah,
I mean, that was just incredible to have, like, to be together through that. But I remember the 18th floor of Orchard Villa. It was this apartment complex that you could go up onto the rooftop of one of the tall skyscrapers.
You had a great view of the city.
You could
see the whole
great
the
view
lights.
Of just the skyline, all the skyscrapers, the A-frame suspension bridge, you know, that super iconic.
It was a good
Chengdu
snap
picture.
Yeah, it was a great snapshot of the whole city.
Yeah. Yeah. And like 360 degree view of the city. Remember that one Chinese New Year where we went up there and we were like at eye level of all the fireworks going off around us. That was
both crazy and
that was crazy.
Kind of scary, but also probably the best view of the fireworks you can get.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. And Chinese New Year was, those are some of my best memories, I think from living. And we can talk about some of those memories later or some other time. But yeah, I remember going up there like 2 days or maybe the day before I flew out, like the night before I flew out. I just remember standing there, like looking off the edge of the railing, the skyscraper rooftop or whatever. And I just started crying. Just like, man, I've lived here for 18 years of my life. I was born in China, moved to Chengdu when I was 6 months old. I'm about to leave. This is never going to be the same. Like, I'm saying goodbye to my city.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's so different when someone grows up in a city or a small town or a community in the States and like goes to another state for college or goes to a big city for college or something, because they can always go back to that, like that way of life. That, and yeah, there's that whole concept of would all of my high school friends come back and stuff, but typically all of their parents are going to stay in that place that they settled down. Whereas like, who knows when all of my friends' parents in Chengdu were going to leave. And then we didn't have that common reason to go back to our host country.
Yeah.
I think
that's the biggest thing. I don't think it's a difference of something different about growing up overseas and comparing it to the US, like a small town US. I think it's more, you hit on, our parents' jobs overseas change so much.
Some
families, I won't name some names, but you know, lived in one city in China for 2 years and then their job had them move to a different city.
Yeah,
and
like business or government workers.
The turnover rate is just so high with international jobs and shifting locations from, you know, China to Singapore, China to Korea, you know, within that geographic kind of region. But, you know, imagine you're trying to do a high school reunion, but half of the people's parents no longer live in that city. So exactly, like, I remember I went back to Chengdu every Christmas, actually.
Really?
Even when my parents had left, I still went back every Christmas.
Oh, that's cool.
And like stayed with friends, family, you know, just my brother and his family was living there at the time, and my older brother. And, you know, you'd go back, but every year it was like less and less people, because it was like, oh, did you hear that family? They moved back to Canada. Or you hear that family, they moved back to Brazil.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they move back to Singapore. So if their family's not there anymore, the odds of that kid or friend from high school who's in university anywhere in the world coming back to Chengdu for Christmas, why would you spend Christmas with your family?
Right.
You spend the holidays with, you know, loved ones. You don't necessarily go and try to hang out with your high school friends. Like that doesn't, you might want to, but it's not realistic. So.
It's just so different. There's not as much reason to go back to that country.
And it's almost like even when we lived there, we had a pretty steady core group of friends and families that lived in the city. But every 3 years, if you took a Snapchat, I keep saying Snapchat. If you took a snap, oh my gosh. If you took a snapshot of every 3 years of like my high school or the Chengdu homeschool group, you'd see an inflow outflow of a lot of different faces.
Right.
So even just within like a little two-year, three-year period, you have a high turnover rate of families and stuff.
But then we did have like a very strong core group that was there.
I think we were lucky in having that. Because your family lived there for 18, 19 years. My family was there for, you know, 16, 17 years.
Right.
Some other families were there for a long time. Well, my first semester in college, I found myself a lot of my weekends going to go visit friends from my high school or from, you know, just living in China rather than be like meeting new friends in college. And I was super blessed with a great, great friend group. But that, especially that first semester, it was like, if I had a free weekend, am I going to spend it hanging out with these new friends that I'm still trying to figure out how to be friends with them and get to know them better? Or am I going to drive, you know, 4 hours and go visit a friend from high school? Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well, I remember following you on social media and stuff, you were always going places.
I mean, yeah, my freshman year, I made a trip I flew out to Colorado to visit my friend in college there from high school. I flew out to LA to visit a friend from high school.
Just like over a weekend.
Pretty much weekend stuff. I drove down to visit my brother in Indiana. I drove down to Alabama to visit my other brother and a friend from high school. And then, yeah,
I just feel like you were just hopping
just like
all over the place.
It was probably 4 or 5 different weekends my freshman semester. Like once a month, I'd spend a weekend not at college, but just going to go. Because at that point, it was just still, I'm better friends with those people than I am these new friends in college. And I was in America where, you know, you can fly from Detroit to Colorado for like $70 round trip, you know, for a weekend. Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, of course I'd rather spend my weekend with that friend there than meeting new people at this college. And then slowly I really had to give up that mentality because I wasn't establishing roots. Mm-hmm. And I have so many amazing friends.
Oh, that's such an interesting concept.
I had so many amazing friends at Calvin that I was like no longer chasing those other friends. I was focused on
actually transitioning back into the passport culture. I was going to ask, do you think,
cause I was actually almost about to transfer my freshman year to a different college in California that would have been a lot closer to some of my high school friends.
I didn't
know
that. Yeah. Which college?
Biola. I was considering transferring at one point of my freshman year first semester, but then I just had so many good, like so many more opportunities once I finally was like,
once you finally chose into being in Michigan, like at Calvin.
I had one friend from high school in Michigan. She actually grew up in China too. She's a TCK. She grew up in Beijing and Shanghai. Childhood friend. And I remember a conversation with her my freshman year, and she's like, what are you doing? Like, you're spending almost every other weekend going to go hang out with these other friends. Like, who are your friends here at Calvin?
Yeah.
And that was
almost like that lifestyle isn't sustainable.
No, it's not. And it was just me trying to fill my loneliness and fill that hole that I'd left in China with trying to relive some of those high school memories with friends and not feeling settled in Michigan yet. But I have incredible friends, and like, I owe everything to these friends who made like Michigan my home. And after, you know, living there for 4 years, just incredible community there that,
well, that's going through the cycle of grief through transition, right? Like I was going to ask, do you think that those choices, that lifestyle of like being very transient, traveling all the time to see old high school friends, do you think that made like prolonged the transition and how hard it was? Or do you think actually kind of made it easier because you were still connecting with those friends that you were really close with? Like, easier or harder, I guess?
Yeah, that's hard because I really loved spending that time with those friends in Colorado or Los Angeles, you know, coming out to California to visit friends. That was super valuable to connect. And it was fun to see friends from China in America. Like, it was this weird thing because we never had cars in China. None of our families might have, but we never drove in China because public transportation. So it's weird, like having a friend pick me up from the airport
and drive around
from high school. super weird.
Yeah.
Because we've never been in a car. You've never driven me anywhere.
Yeah.
And we're like 19.
Only on an e-bike.
Yeah. Only like on a little moped scooter. But yeah, I think that I was definitely in the denial state, you know, the cycle of grief. I was in the denial where I was
stage. Yeah.
I can continue to not let high school and Chengdu and those memories fade if I am super intentional with like doing little mini reunions here and there. Yeah. But then you also realize that financially it's not possible as a college student just to keep flying
I kind of wonder that sometimes. I was like, man, does Johnny just have a super good job or something?
No, I went to a place called BioLife Plasma.
Oh, you donated plasma.
Yeah, donated plasma. Like, it was
donating your blood to go see friends.
It was 70 all my friends did it too. It was $70.
That's like
$70
a week.
That's
the epitome of like a TCK desperation to go like keep connection. Like, I will donate my blood to go see my friends.
That's not blood, it's just the water.
Yes, that's true.
It was $70, and me and some friends, we all did it. Our housemates, all of us at one point donated plasma. Because $70 a week,
that's so funny.
That's like, you know, that's $280 a month. That's enough for a flight. My friends in Michigan helped me so much in realizing that it was so much more worth it to invest in community there.
Yeah.
And then starting my sophomore year of high school, really kind of...
College, you mean?
Sorry, yeah. So second year and sophomore year and on in college, really just focused in Michigan. Still saw friends when I could.
Travel now and then, but...
Yeah, but definitely tried to make the most of, you know, the great friendships that
I had. And that's the other thing too. When you grow up with people in such a unique environment, a unique experience, like we did in Chengdu, most of the time, I'm not going to say all the time, but most of the time, those are going to be lifelong friendships.
Yeah.
Because you have such a unique foundation with each other, you can relate so much or on so much stuff with each other. So like for us, for example, we didn't see each other, we maybe saw each other once in between when we moved back to the States and my wedding. But every time we saw each other, it was just like old times again. Like you pick up right where you left off. It's not like this weird friendship that's now awkward or anything like that. So I think that goes along with investing in your community that you move back into, like at university or at college, but not worrying too much about those other friendships falling off because you have so much to go back on. Yeah. Like even like this trip, we haven't seen each other since my wedding, but you come back, we reminisce, like it's like old times again.
Yeah. And I also went, I went into it with the right wrong mindset of I'm going to go to this college, and if I don't like it, I'll transfer to where I have more friends.
Kind of keeping your options open.
That, and I saw it as that because it helped me with being scared of college.
Right.
Of just like, if I don't like it, I can transfer to where I have better friends.
Right.
I should have gone into it and said, this is where I'm going to be, you know? Mm-hmm. But that was my college experience.
Yeah.
And you've talked about yours a little bit of how it was easier for you to...
Yeah, it was a little bit easier. Again, it was difficult to relate to the friends back here, like that community I talked about that kind of already knew me, just because I didn't share much with them.
Yeah.
Like, for example, this is just a very vivid, funny example in my mind. I remember one time we were celebrating a couple friends' birthdays. They were twins at this Mexican restaurant in downtown Newburgh here where George Fox is. And everyone was like, oh my gosh, let's get some churros afterwards. And I had no clue what a churro. There's no churros in China, you know? Like, so I, in my naivety and ignorance, I was like, what's a churro? And everyone just starts like bust up laughing. Like, they're just like, you don't know what a churro is? I'm like, no, haha. Like trying to laugh it off, but it actually like, inside was like, oh, like that kind of stuff. Just one of those things that reminded me that I'm going to have to work a little bit harder to relate to these friends because I grew up in a different culture in a different place.
Yeah, right? Definitely.
Like pop culture references and stuff like that, that oftentimes just kind of went over my head, but I just pretended to like know what was going on, understand it to build those new memories and stuff with that community. So there were things like that was hard, and obviously missing home and missing, because my family was still in China for a few years after after I graduated. So missing my parents, missing family, friends, and just being in, missing the food. Oh my gosh, missing Chinese food. That was a real thing. Cause it's very rare to find authentic Chinese food.
Yeah. You can find it.
You can, there's little pockets.
It's more difficult. I think that's a really good point you're saying with your family being back in, your family still living in China when you're in college. And I had that for 2 years of college where my parents were still in China. And that, dude, don't you think that was painful for me? Anytime I would FaceTime my parents, the time zone, that was really hard, tough, because whenever I would have a problem in the States, for example, I had a car in college. I had never done things like oil changes or get a car fixed or anything like that. Like, and in Michigan, driving in the winter is kind of, you know, kind of a scary thing. So there are certain things that I was really kind of not good at.
Because it didn't snow much in Chengdu, so we didn't have a lot of that. Never like, snow experience.
Never snowed, or never would stick on the ground. Yeah. So there were certain little things that I felt like, there were certain things that my friends who were from Michigan were just better at dealing with, like the winter and where to shop and all these things. And me having my parents be so far away in the time zone, that was so hard because in my mind, something would happen. There'd be a problem. For example, I don't know how to fill out this tax form, or I don't know how to do this W-2. I'd never done taxes before. Yeah. And the problem was anytime those things would happen, if it was in the afternoon, it'd be 2 a.m. when my parents are asleep.
Yeah.
You know, so I can't necessarily call them in the middle of the night. So that was, and it was also hard, just that time zone, but also when you're kind of sad in your dorm room and you're calling your parents and they're back in China and, you know, on FaceTime, you can see your old house. They show you the window, show you the weather. It's like, oh, it's a sunny day here in Chengdu. Look how, and that's just like a gut.
That's hard.
It's kind of like a,
that was hard.
It's a gut punch because you're missing home. Your family's, you know, 12 hours ahead time zone wise. And also they're still, you know, showing you the food they're eating or things like that. And you're just in this bad spot of,
I remember a few times I FaceTimed my dad and he would be like outside at like a
restaurant,
a mianguan, like a noodle shop eating lunch. And he like show me his bowl of noodles and like show me who he's eating with. And so I'd be like, oh, I miss that so much.
And you're at the like cafeteria.
The cafeteria in America eating like, I don't know, fried chicken or something.
Just like, what is this? I ate so horrible, horribly. Yeah. I freshman 15. I think I freshman 20.
Freshman 20.
I would just eat pizza. Just all this food that was just like so bad. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and that was another thing too, was something that made it so different from my friends at college. Like their experience was, if they were missing home, missing their family, they could go back home over a weekend.
Yeah.
Even if it was like a 8-hour drive to like another state. Sometimes up in Seattle with my extended family, sometimes with Corey's extended family, just bounced around. But they could go home. My friends could go home for like Thanksgiving or for just a weekend if they were feeling down or sad or missing home or something like that. I couldn't. Corey and I, we like to get home, it was a sometimes $1,000 airplane ticket and a 36-hour journey just to get back home.
For a weekend.
Yeah, you can't go home for a weekend. Like that's not feasible. So that was another thing that made my parents being in China really difficult, was just that feeling of not being able to go home. But I will say too, I think it actually, when my parents moved back to the States and no longer live in China, that was almost in its own way a really hard thing.
Because now
I don't have a connection to China anymore.
You also don't have a home.
Yeah, that connection to that place that was my home. Yeah, they're not living in that apartment anymore. There's not really a reason for me to go back other than just to visit Chengdu. Like, I'm not going to go back for Christmas because my family's not there, just like we talked about before. Yeah. But it almost cut off that last connection to home. And that was, so it was, you know, there's, again, pros and cons and everything, but my family being there was hard because I couldn't just go home for the weekend. But my family leaving there was hard because then it almost solidified that
the chapter,
understanding in my mind of, the chapter's closing. Like,
what's like the
China's
final,
done.
The final page is, the period has been placed in the last sentence of my family no longer lives there. There's grief in that too.
Definitely.
Processing.
Definitely.
The loss of your child. For me, it was like my childhood toys and my couch. The couch.
Yeah.
Like,
it's weird little things like that.
The kitchen table.
Yeah.
And it's interesting now that my parents live in Orlando is because some of the stuff from China, a lot of it was able to be shipped back.
Yeah.
So there's like little pieces in my parents' house now. My parents' house now that remind me of China a lot. Like the silverware is still the same.
Yeah,
there's like cups from my childhood. I'm like, that's what the plat, you know.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say about that is about, you know, people in the States maybe being able to go back home to visit things. One thing that was hard for me was two of my best friends from high school, two of my best friends that weren't in my class. They were a year below.
Yeah.
You know, for their senior year, I never got to see any of their senior year. You know, I would have loved to go to their graduation because they were really, really close friends. They just happened to be a year younger. I would have loved to watch them play in the basketball tournament. You know, that was a big deal. The basketball tournament.
Yeah.
The biggest, you know, sporting event for our high school every year was like the final championship against.
Yeah.
We'd always play the school in Tianjin and it was always super close. And the soccer team. And those were memories I didn't get to ever
experience.
Got to experience their senior year. And, you know, if you're in college, of course, you're not going back every weekend to watch your high school friends play sports. But maybe you'd see them at Thanksgiving or you could, you know, still
FaceTime them a little bit. But it's different. It's different than being there.
Yeah. So I guess that's kind of a little bit of our stories, kind of a lot more loose this episode.
Yeah.
Talk about it from the perspective of Chinese school together, some of those memories, the Chengdu homeschool group, international school, college experience.
Yeah. Just gives you guys a little bit of insight into what our life was like, what our lives were like back in Chengdu, China. You know,
and obviously, you know, we know some of our listeners will be from Chengdu, but some people have never been to China before. So we're trying it's hard to walk that fine line of how many inside stories can you tell, you know?
Right. Like giving you guys an insight into what it was like without going down too many rabbit trails too many little minuscule details.
And this whole podcast thing, we're trying to figure out of, you know, this first season, we're really trying to, you know, put out a few, you know, maybe four or five episodes and kind of get some feedback and see if it's something we want to continue doing. And in terms of like, do we want it to be more of a serious podcast? Do we want it to be funny or a good mix?
More interviews, more just us, you know, providing content and talking about different perspectives and stuff. Like, we're definitely still trying to figure out what this looks like and kind of how we vibe during recording sessions and for you guys as listeners. Because, you know, it's a new experience that neither of us have any experience doing before. So we're, you know, we're just trying to figure it out. So
yeah,
hopefully you guys enjoyed listening to our stories, and yeah, till next time.
Sounds good. Till next time.
See you, Nomads. 5, 6, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8,